Yes, the Bible reading comes from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what is not, what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow a pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the Lord is certainly moving here at CBC. It's been an exciting and stretching 3 weeks as we have launched our theme in 2016, A Time to Pray. It certainly seems that a conversation with God is leading to an encounter with God, and that's what we're seeking to do this year as a church. We just want to talk to God as a faith community, and we trust that we will continue to experience his power and presence. It's been a stretching 3 weeks. We've launched our artwork, which is in the foyer there. Sam wrote a prayer song like you never have before. We've launched our prayer wall. We've had a prayer walk. We've given prayer journals. And last Sunday, we had our first Time to Pray Sunday, which was building in prayer and praise into our church service. It's been a stretching, exciting 3 weeks, and we believe that we are just starting to dance with the Holy Spirit this year. You know, with our theme, A Time to Pray, entrenched in our church, we now need to turn our face towards Easter. One of the prayer uh, that prayers that went on the prayer wall last week, and there were like 95. Please continue to use this after the service. Write up your prayer points, and I encourage you to come and pray for other people's prayer needs. Spend some time after the service praying for other people's prayer needs. And at the bottom of this prayer wall is a basket, and we hope that it will be full to overflowing with answered prayers. If you feel that your prayer has been answered this year, just untie it and put it down on that basket, and we would love to be encouraged by that. But there is a prayer on the prayer wall that really is a great prayer that we as a faith community will truly sink our whole soul in the depth and what it means that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. And I thought, what a great prayer for our church. May we this Easter season truly understand in a fresh way the full height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of God for us. This series is titled The Great Invitation, and across March we're going to have a continuous exposition of Isaiah chapter 55. So this week is come eat, come drink, eat, live. Next week, Sam will be preaching on a highway for low sinners, which is verses 6 to 9. We're then on Palm Sunday, God's triumphant word, verses 10 to 11. Good Friday, by his stripes we are healed, Sam will be preaching. And then empty, I'll be preaching on Easter Sunday, break forth in song, verses 12 to 13. Continuous exposition of Isaiah chapter 55. The great invitation. God is a very inviting God. And when I think about the word invitation, I think it's got two very profound meanings, doesn't it? You see, if I was to say this spot is very inviting, it's pleasant and it's attractive. I remember when I proposed to Michelle, it was down at Wollongong there at the lighthouse. And forever for Shell and I, that is a very inviting place. Whenever I am back there at the lighthouse, I can still remember myself, I think, as a 21-year-old and Shell was 19, quivering and shaking and getting down on one knee. And this place is a very inviting place for us to be. But you can also say that we get invited to very special events, don't we? On my fridge at the moment, Alistair and Morgan are getting married from our faith community, and that's in April, and I'll be marrying them, and they've certainly given us an invite to the wedding, and it says for Shell and I to come and join them on their special day, which means we are invited to a very, very special event. The great and wonderful thing about God is that he is inviting in both of these ways. And I don't think that there is a greater text than Isaiah chapter 55 that shows us in such a vivid way just how inviting God is. God is inviting. God in his presence, it is a pleasant place to be when we are present in the presence of God. There is no better place to be than in God's presence. It's an inviting place to be. But God is also an inviting God and invites his creation to come by special invitation to commune with him. That's why God is an inviting God. Can you remember when you have experienced God's invitation in your life? I remember when I got the invitation, 1998, 19, in my bedroom, Dobell Road, cried out, God, if you're out there, I need you. It was a real step of faith for me, and it was almost like I felt through the Holy Spirit God's invitation. But it didn't end there. Over the last, 15, 16 years or so, I've continued to experience that God is a very inviting, pleasant place to be, his power and his presence. Let me ask you to just think about your own life for a second. Can you remember when you experienced God's invitation in your life, his continual invitation? Allow me to put Isaiah chapter 55 in context for you. It's really important that we do this, and I'll do it fairly briefly. But Isaiah chapter 53 is known as the suffering servant. And it's amazing that Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus died and rose, could actually see into the future and see that we need a Savior, and the Savior is going to come, Jesus Christ, to take away our guilt and shame and rebellion so that we can actually answer God's invitation. 700 years before the event, Isaiah writes this. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each one of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. That was written 700 years before Jesus died, pointing us to the very truth that Jesus lived, died, and he rose again. This is the great substitution. Jesus died to take the punishment that we actually deserve for rejecting God. And this brings us to Isaiah chapter 55, God's mission, 54, God's mission, our mission. Isaiah can actually see in the Spirit some profound blessings that Jesus would die, basically, that we would have a Savior. And one of those blessings that Isaiah actually sees is that God will save the world. And I just would like to point out this one truth from Isaiah chapter 54. And we actually need to call upon William Carey, who is actually known as the father of mission. He went into India and he, in a cutting-edge way, reached out and became a little bit like those in India in order to see them come to know Jesus Christ. Well, William Carey, before he went out into the mission field, get this, it was a Wednesday, May 31, 1792. You can check that up on your calendar maybe. But he preached a very powerful sermon, really out of this holy discontent that the Protestant movement wasn't reaching out to the world with the message of Jesus Christ. He was a newly ordained pastor, influenced by the Moravians, which was a powerful missional movement. And William Carey preached on Isaiah chapter 54. And he preached on verses 2 and 3. And this is what he preached on. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. In other words, one of the great blessings because of Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, one of the great blessings is that the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection will be for all nations. God's redemption is not just for Jews. It's not only just for us. It's for all nations. And this leads us to the great invitation of chapter 55. There is plenty more room in God's tent, so to speak. And that's why I think we wanted to really highlight community care. There's plenty of room in the Sutherland Shire for us to reach out with the love of Jesus Christ. Are you available? Are you keen? Are you willing? There's plenty more room. There's a great invitation to give out of the good news of Jesus Christ that needs to come from you and I. So when we look at Isaiah chapter 55, the great invitation, I just want to ask three questions. Who are invited? What are they offered? What are they told in order to get it? Chapter 53 is the suffering servant. Chapter 54 is the mission to the world because of the suffering servant. And chapter 55 is the great invitation. We're just looking at the first three verses this morning. Who are invited? And the answer is two kinds of people are invited. Verse 1, let's have a look at verse 1. Thank you for reading the Bible, Katie. It's a fabulous reading. Come to all who are thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. The first kind of person that is invited to commune with God is the thirsty and the broke. The thirsty and the broke. People who can't pay for what they need. But it's more than just monetary. It's also spiritual thirst. I want to encourage you this morning that if you're frustrated, if you're feeling unfulfilled, if you are restless, if you feel like you're in Death Valley, if you are dissatisfied, if you're feeling like there's got to be more, if you feel like what the Sutherland Shire looks like right now, and that's pretty brown grass because it hasn't rained upon your soul, the great invitation is for you to come and drink up God's refreshing presence, because God is a very inviting place to be. That's why it says, come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the water. And if you're thirsty this morning, come. But the second kind of person invited to commune with God is the self-sufficient. And I'm thinking that many of us fit in this place this morning. So let's have a look in verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? In verse 1, God said, he who has no money, come. In verse 2, he talks about those that have money and the strength to labor. And I'm thinking that that's pretty much us. We have resources and we have strength to labor. Many of us have employment. So verse 2 is really speaking, I think, to a lot of us this morning. The first kind of person is certainly spiritually bankrupt and knows it. They're thirsty and they're broke. But the second kind of person that's invited isn't in that space. In fact, they've got money and they're spending it. And I'm thinking that's pretty much a good summation of many of us here this morning. They've got strength and they're laboring. But what's the end result? Frustration. Frustration. They're not like the first person, burnt out at the end of their rope. Rather, they're still spending and still working, dreaming, chasing, searching, experimenting. Different job, different city, different car, different house, different spouse, new computer, new boat, new books, new bike, new barbecue, new season tickets, new diet, new looks. There's still a lot of looking around in this person. And suddenly you find that there's no pot at the end of the rainbow. It doesn't seem to be a fountain of youth. It's like every triumph peters out, the applause fades, the bike is boring, the style passes, everything gets new and older and older and older, and options get fewer and fewer. And if we're really, really honest with ourselves, we know that there is a canyon of need and longing inside of us. No matter how self-sufficient you look on the outside, there is still a canyon of need on the inside. And I reckon that God had us in mind when he said this in verse 2, why do you spend your money for bread which is no bread? And you labor for dreams that do not satisfy, verse 2. So there's two kinds of people invited to God who is very inviting. There are those who are broke and thirsty, cannot pay their way. And there are those who are thirsty who think that they can work and pay their way towards satisfaction. I think that's all of us, really. We're all invited to the great presence of God. So secondly, what are we actually offered? What are we offered? Well, God invites us into himself so that we can actually taste, so that we can drink his water, milk, and wine. I don't know if you picked that up. Water, milk, and wine. Have a look as we look in verse 1 and 2. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. These three beverages, water, milk, and wine, they correspond, I think, to the deep need in our soul. Let's have a look at water. Water corresponds to the need for refreshment. When you think that you are most thirsty in life, when you are in Death Valley, when you are most desperate and you're dehydrated in life, you don't want milk. And please stay away from the wine. You need water. That's what you need when you're in Death Valley and life is dry. You need water. And God knows that. You need water. No wonder the beauty of Psalm 23. God, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He refreshes me. God invites you, if you're in Death Valley this morning and you are feeling dry and parched and you are dehydrated spiritually, God says, come and find refreshment. Drink up my presence of restoration because I am water for your soul. But God's not just water, he's milk. Milk corresponds to the need for ongoing nourishment. You know, when you are gasping for life, you need some water. But when you're a little baby and you need to grow day after day, you need to give that little baby milk again and again and again. You see, God is not just for emergencies. God is not just for some mountaintop experience. No, God is for health in the long haul. We need God's milk. And he invites us to come alive with water, but to grow stable and strong with his milk. Come, eat, drink, live, and wine. I bet you're interested in what I'm going to say about this one. Hey, I just saw you guys nodding off. Look up. I'm going to say wine more often. Wine. Wine. Look at you. You're all looking at me. Well, wine corresponds to the need for exhilaration. We want to live and not die. We want to be strong and stable instead of weak and wavering. But that's not all we need in life. No matter how stoic you are this morning, no matter how unemotional, phlegmatic, laid-back, poker-faced you may actually seem to others, I reckon there is a little child in each one of you here this morning. And I kind of feel like we need to get rid of the chairs and start dancing. Because there is a little child in all of you that needs to get out. God is the God of water, milk, and wine. We're not talking about here getting drunk. The Bible is very clear. This is not about drunkenness. This is about the God of the universe who wants us to experience exhilaration. I was at Jamboree in January. I went down that water slide with little Micah. He had to climb up that mountain. And it's the old school semicircle water slide snaking down that mountain, holding Micah to my chest. And I laughed the whole way down. I couldn't stop laughing. And it released the inner child in me. There is an inner child in you. And wine is God's ability for us to experience exhilaration. See, life is for shouting, for singing, for dancing, for playing, for skipping and running and jumping and laughing. But we know that many of us live in Death Valley and it makes it really hard to experience the exhilaration. God is willing to revive us from the heat of Death Valley with the miracle of his water. And he can make us strong and healthy and stable with the miracle of his milk. And then he gives us an endless and ever refreshing exhilaration with the miracle of his wine. I want to say this morning that the chariots of God is so full of water, milk, and wine that it's overflowing and spilling out. Overflowing and spilling out is the chariots of God with water, milk, and wine. Can I ask you this morning, why would you want to go anywhere else in life than answer the great invitation to come to the most inviting place of all, the very presence of God, to drink up his water, milk, and wine? So what are we actually told in order to get it? Well, here we go, verse 3. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. I just circled three words in my Bible. Hear, covenant, love. Hear, covenant, love. God cuts a covenant with us. God makes an oath that he will love us with an everlasting love because of Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant. Isaiah 54 is the blessing of the suffering servant, the mission to the nations. And 55 is the great invitation that we need to hear this morning afresh, that God has made a covenant with us of everlasting love. God gives water to the thirsty soul, milk to the weak heart, and wine to sagging faces. And God invites you into a covenant with himself. And I reckon God's love, it's the love that gets us out of the bed in the morning, out of the desert you're in. It makes you strong when you're wavering and gives you fire when you're starting to get dull. That is the love of God. Easter is about the great invitation. My challenge to you is, what are you doing with that great invitation over the next couple of weeks? Are you just going to keep it in your back pocket for no one to see and you to enjoy? Or are you going to get out this great invitation and invite the nations to come into the inviting presence of our Savior? And this morning, as we transition into communion to wrap up our church, if you are thirsty, come, drink, eat, live. If you need God's milk and you need some stability and his sustaining power, come, eat, drink, live. If you are finding that you have a sagging face and you don't know joy lately because life is hard and it's hard to feel joy when life is difficult, come and drink up God's wine and experience the Spirit of God, bringing out that inner child, even though life can be excruciatingly hard. Come, eat, drink, live. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus Christ, could see into the future. And he could actually see that Jesus would come. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, when he was on this earth, he broke bread with his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you." We believe that these are just symbols. The bread represents the body of Jesus broken. And the juice, it just represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. You see, the thing with an invitation is that it means that you need to respond. You need to come. So today, as we do communion, we're going to have stewards at various points around our church. And we want to invite you to come, eat, drink, live. Because this is a celebration that Jesus resurrected back to life so that we can experience the water, milk, and wine of our God. So come, eat, drink. Take some time to confess our sin and to find and experience the power of God again. If you are not a disciple of Jesus, that's okay. You don't need to come forward and grab some of these symbols and elements. If you don't know Jesus and you want to get right with God, all you need to do is come and eat and say, "Jesus, forgive me, I am sorry. I want you in my life. I want to follow you. I long for the water, milk, and wine that Isaiah 55 talks about." Can I invite you, as you feel led, to come, take these symbols. And our stewards have got a word for you. This is the body of Jesus Christ. These are just symbols of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. We're going to close our service with a song, and we're going to worship the Lord. And I trust that in these moments, no matter where you are in life, you may experience the inviting presence of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you that as we read in Isaiah 55, you are the God of water, milk, and wine. Father, I pray that as we come forward and remember that, Jesus, your body was broken and your blood was shed, just like Isaiah said 700 years before the event, where we celebrated a couple of thousand years after you died and rose again. And Jesus, we just thank you. We are sorry for our rebellion, our sin. We are sorry, Lord, when we hold back the great invitation of you, Jesus Christ, to our world. Lord, we need to go to the nations. Father, I pray that as we come, that we may taste your water. If any of my brothers and sisters are in Death Valley today, may they know your water. For those that are longing to follow you, Jesus, and experience your nourishing milk and stability, Father, fill us up with your hand and your presence. For anyone, Lord, longing for joy that hasn't felt the exhilaration of life because life has been almost unbearable, Spirit, come and wash us with the exhilaration that comes with your power and presence. Lord, we need you. Come and speak to us as we take in this very, very significant meal. In your name, Jesus. Amen.